The Lord be with you. Bless our God, O peoples. Who has kept us among the living. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Lesson this morning is from Acts chapter 17, verses 22 to 31. Listen for the word of God. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 to 22. Listen for the word of God. Now who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated. But in your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone from you, and accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For God also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey. When God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made to subject him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel lesson this morning is from John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. Listen for the word of God. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you. And he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. This passage about Paul visiting the Athenians basically says that you cannot define God. You can't describe God or what he is. You can't put God in a box. He could be a she-bear for all we know. I must say, I don't think there is one person in here who has never made an image of God in their mind, what he looks like, how he speaks. I'm sure we don't think God's voice would be like this, but we can't be certain that it isn't so. I've made an image of God before. I imagine him as a giant, with a chair the size of an apartment building, and a huge, white, fluffy beard. One Sunday when I was younger, maybe 7, it was no-shave November, which is this thing that some men do where you can't shave for the entire month of November. That year, Fred did it. For those who are rather new to this church, Fred Anderson used to be a minister here. So Fred, as all ministers in this church do, walked down the aisle at the end of the service, and he had this big, white, fluffy beard. He was exactly what I thought God looked like at the time, and so when he walked down the aisle, I tugged my mom's sleeve and said to her, "Mommy, look, it's God!" Back then, I imagined God exactly how he was told to us in preschool, which was that he was a God of love, and he loved every one of us. And I believed that, until 5th grade. Nothing really bad had happened to me before that except for the occasional, "How is God made of love if he still makes me do my homework?" kind of thing, but I remember this pretty well. It was one morning when my mom came to me after scrolling through Facebook. She and I were about to leave until she stopped and started getting teary-eyed. She was muttering, "Oh my gosh, that's so sad," and things like that. I asked her what was wrong, and she told me that Xander had died. Xander, short for Alexander, was a boy in my class who was friends with everyone. He was constantly blabbering on about baseball, and he liked school, and he played basketball with the other kids at recess. I asked her why he died, not actually feeling anything. She replied by saying that he had a stroke and he wasn't coming back. The words hadn't really set in yet. I had learned about that once in science, but I wasn't thinking about that, so I asked her what it was. And she said it was bleeding in the brain, and that it's really rare, especially in young children. He was only 9, but it happened. I almost didn't believe her, like it was some cruel prank or something, and part of me knew she would never do that. So I went to school and just sat there in silence. Everyone was just wondering why Xander had been absent for so long. He was absent for the whole week. One person said that he had a cold, and another said he got bitten by a venom-spitting mosquito that shot lasers out of its eyes. That's 5th grade for you. When we got to school, everything was normal. Right after lunch, though, the principal, Dr. Ketke, brought everyone to the art room. Only our grade. 48 kids wasn't much if we squeezed together. The assistant principal of the school, I forget her name, sat down in a chair, and we were all on the floor, and she told us we had probably never gone through something like this. We all had, because another girl named Sophie died in 1st grade, but we were 1st graders. 1st graders are oblivious to everything. We just thought she moved to a new town. This time was different. She told us Alexander had a stroke. None of us, except for ones who actually remembered science outside the class, knew what a stroke was. When she saw our confused expressions, she said that he wasn't coming back to school. We all knew what that meant. She said the art room would be open all day for those who were sad. Almost everyone stayed. My friend group went to one table, and there were 12 of us. I went under the table because I do better in the dark. I was just thinking, if God is such a loving God, then why would he let that happen? I didn't know. For my whole life before this, I believed that God wouldn't let bad things happen. For 2 years after that, I didn't even believe in God because my view of God was too simple. And I know you may be thinking, well, then why didn't you just change your view of God? And that's actually not the right answer. We can only get so much about God from the Bible, but not enough to have a definite image. So there's no single image of God that captures him entirely. God is unpredictable in his ways, and yes, bad things happen, but God doesn't stop bad things from happening. Instead, when bad things do happen, he can help you through them. So sure, imagine God as a fully loving being if you want to, but I find it helpful to think of him as a friend, because friends are unpredictable in their ways. You can never fully know someone, even a good friend, like you can never fully know God. God operates in a way that just doesn't make sense to us. God makes strange things happen, and sometimes it's Him trying to tell you something. I think about this quite often, actually, how God can be using symbolism to try and communicate or lead the way. Or maybe it's just because English class has been permanently burned into my brain. God can't be put in a box. So when Paul stood in front of the Athenians and spoke about their statue to an unknown God, it kind of got me thinking. It got me thinking about how big and incomprehensible our God really is. I mean, Paul is saying that even the strange statue can point to God, something that would never have been accepted by the Jews before. It makes me wonder how the ways that we think of God today are insufficient. The reason Paul was able to think outside the box is that he actually had encountered God. We learn earlier in the book that when Paul was still a violent persecutor, he was walking along the road to Damascus, and then Jesus started talking to him. This was the same Jesus Paul talks about when he tells the Athenians somebody rose up from the dead. This was God made flesh. This was the God who showed love by healing people and eating with people and teaching people better ways to live. This was the God who made the poor and outcasts know that they mattered. This was God who gave his life for everybody because he loved us so much. The interesting thing is that Paul didn't get to see this God. He was blinded, but he got to know the character of God through Jesus, and this experience freed him. It's because of this experience that he ended up there in Athens thinking outside the box. It didn't matter what God looked like. It didn't matter how people had always been describing God. What mattered is that Paul knew the character of God, and Paul wanted these Athenians to know that character. By thinking of God as a friend, that character may just be a little easier to understand. Friends love you, and they comfort you, and they talk to you. And they think about you, and you think about them. Confirmation helped me realize that. Before confirmation, I still didn't believe in God. Everything about God is so royal. I'm not much for the idea of treating someone as royalty, so with him as a friend, I started to develop a better understanding of God and what he was trying to do, and what he did do. And yes, I don't believe in everything that happened in the Bible, but I do believe in the morals. To love one another, don't lie, respect your parents, don't murder anyone. Those rules help us to live our lives in happiness, grace, and love. That's what really matters. And I've learned that I don't have to think about God in a way that I've always been told to. Like Paul, I can think outside the box. God is a friend who cares about each one of us and wants us to live a happy and good life. He comforts you when you're sad and helps you through bad things. God, as our friend, is not far from any one of us. So maybe, just maybe, if we search for him, we might find him because he's already found us. Amen.
Thank you. what is good. Return no one evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the suffering, honor all people, love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.